Well, welcome everyone to the Resilient Leadership Podcast, where everything we talk about is aimed at helping you lead with a greater sense of calm, clarity, and conviction, even in anxious times. My name is Irvin Nugent, and today, as always, I am joined by my co-host and friend and collaborator, Bridget Tyre. Bridget, how are you doing today?
Irvin, I'm doing great. It's so good to be with you today. And I am, I'm always excited to be with you. But today I feel particularly enthusiastic because I think we have a pretty special conversation on tap.
We do.
And so without further ado, why don't you tell our listeners what that is?
Well, yeah, I thought it was for both of us. Today feels a little different because, drum roll, this is our 100th episode. I was just looking back and our first episode, number one, was on January the 25th, 2022. So here we are just over 4 years later. And I thought it would be lovely to spend a little time looking back and perhaps to ask this question, you know, after 100 conversations about leadership, what actually has become clear? And not just what sounds good in theory, but actually what holds up in those real leadership moments under real pressure. And so today I thought it would be good to kind of share with our listeners some truths that we have learned in our conversations and in our work about what actually makes leaders resilient. It is the title of our podcast. And I thought today we'd get into brass tacks on some truths about what actually makes leaders resilient. So, Bridget, as you think back and all those conversations we've had, what stands out for you?
You know, Irvin, I think what stands out most is how often leaders come to us looking for tools. And of course, tools matter, right? But, you know, looking for tools about what to say, how to handle a situation, how to lean into a conversation, how to handle a team, and how often the real work turns inward. And at the end of the day, it ends up being less about having the right words and more about being able to stay present long enough to use those words.
Love that.
What about you, Irvin?
Yeah, I think for me, is that I'm always surprised, and I don't know why, but I'm always surprised that we have this consistent pattern, and yet within that pattern are so many diverse peoples and roles and industries, and yet the same underlying challenge I feel rises to the top. And that is that leaders are not struggling because they don't care. They're not struggling because they don't know enough. I think they're really struggling because they're trying to deal with what happens when they're under pressure. And there's one given in today's world. It is that leaders are under a lot of pressure.
Indeed.
Yeah. So I thought it might be fun for us to kind of highlight some truths from six truths that I think have emerged from all our past episodes and what we're really hearing leaders talk about today. So Bridget, why not kick us off with the first truth that we've kind of come up with over these 100 episodes?
You bet. And so this is it. Resilient leadership starts on the inside. It's an internal journey. And we've seen this over and over in all the conversations we've had and all the examples that we've shared. But here's the thing. Leadership challenges really look external. So most of the times, the people that we're working with, right, are focused on those external challenges, the people, the performance, the change that they're managing. But of course, the real work starts internally. So as an example, I just remember this many years ago, I was working with a leader who wanted their team to step up and seize the day because there was this huge opportunity for the company and for the team to do something quite remarkable in the marketplace. And, you know, the client was like, how do I get these people to do what I want them to do? It was really the question that they brought. But, you know, as he and I slowed down kind of step back a little bit from the immediacy, from the pressure that you spoke about, Irvin, and kind of got curious about it, what became clear was that the pressure this leader was under, right, to take advantage of the opportunity and seize the day and make sure that we, you know, we move through this open window that's going to close, that that was shaping how this client was showing up in ways that they had not appreciated.
Yeah.
A little bit more controlling, a little bit less trusting.
Mm.
And that that in turn had affected the team. And I think that awareness, and that was one of our first conversations, started to change everything, because with awareness comes choice. And now they could choose to engage with the team from a different place.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So what stands out to you about that, Irvin?
Yeah. Well, you know, what stands out is it's so easy for leaders and for me and for us as well to stay focused on the outward. You know, it feels more productive. I'm going to fix the team. I'm going to fix the process. I'm going to fix the problem. But, you know, real leverage is on the inside. And that's a little more uncomfortable because instead of this external fixing, then the question becomes, you know, what role am I playing in this dynamic?
Yeah.
And it's, I think, easier to deal with something that's going wrong when we've kind of give up. Well, I don't really, it's beyond my control. And yet whenever we look in the inside and we say, well, actually, you know, I'm part of this dynamic as well, then we have to admit that we have more influence perhaps than we're willing to admit. And I think that's really important. That I think, as you said, is the beginning of something really amazing.
Yeah. And so it starts with looking internally, right? Mm-hmm. We want to begin by looking externally.
Yeah.
And this is not to say that there aren't things externally that we need to focus on and pay attention to.
Yeah.
That's just where we want to go to.
Yeah.
But it begins, the journey begins by looking inward. And that's the case 10 out of 10 times.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So what's the second core truth?
So the second truth that's come out from our conversations, I think we could say it like this, is that presence matters more than perfection. That I think leaders often feel pressure to have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
And people more often respond to presence.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that, oh, wow, there's so many examples, coaching examples where that's been the case. But, you know, I do remember a leader in an organization who was going through a big change initiative.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember struggling with this. And yet they had the vulnerability to stand up and say, you know, I don't have all the answers yet. And there was a lot of pressure to really have the answers. Where is this change? Yeah. Why this change? Where is it coming from? What's it going to result in? And she said, you know, I don't have all the answers yet, but here's what I know. And here's how I'd like us to move forward. And in one sense, leaders could think, well, that's not, you know, going to increase my credibility, but actually it does. It increases credibility because it increases trust. People say, yeah, this person has been honest, and she was honest. She was steady. She was present.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, is that something you see, Bridget, a lot as well?
Oh, yeah. I see it all the time. And I just think that's such a beautiful example, because part of the pressure that leaders feel is self-imposed pressure, right?
Yeah,
the pressure they put on themselves, where they think, like you said, I've got to have all the answers.
Yeah.
I have to project certainty. I have to look like I know what I'm doing at all times.
Yeah.
And unless I do that, I can't create confidence. I can't create credibility for myself. But at the end of the day, people don't really expect that of their fellow humans, you know? They don't expect you to have all the answers, and they certainly know you don't have a crystal ball.
Yeah.
But what they do need is a certain steadiness. And when they look at you, the leader, they look at me, a leader, what they're really asking at some level is, can I trust you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you grounded? And are you going to stay with us? Are you going to stay connected even when things get really hard and even when things are unclear?
Yeah.
And I think that the quality of a leader's presence answers those questions in a way that being perfectly in tune and in touch and having all the answers never can.
Yeah, I really love that. I love that idea of people, especially through a change initiative, they're really looking and asking, are you going to remain connected with us?
Yeah.
Because we know things are going to get unclear, you know, no one has all the answers. So I love that kind of, and how people gauge that. They gauge that kind of connection. Mm. So what about truth number three, Bridget?
Yeah, this is one that, of course, throughout our 4 years of doing this podcast, we have come home to time and time again. And that is that all relationship systems carry anxiety, and it's the leaders that regulate it. So from a systems perspective, anxiety is always moving, right? Through a family, a team, a company, an organization, a society. It's part and parcel of the human experience. I remember being in a leadership meeting. I was an observer. I was working with this team and the leader, and I could feel the tension mounting because there were some challenges with deadlines not being met and some frustrations and different points of view were being voiced. And I could start to feel the emotional tenor of the meeting tighten up. And then a leader paused and said this, and I'll never forget it. He said, let's slow this down. We're starting to react instead of think. And you could just feel the room shift. I mean, imagine the presence it took to, one, observe that, because he was getting swept up in it too. And then to say, hey, wait a second, you know, let's slow down here. We're starting to react instead of think. Man, that was so cool. Anyways, the bottom line is, as a leader, what he was doing there is he can't eliminate anxiety, but his presence and his statement regulated it. Yeah. And the team did hit that pause button. And from there, they engaged in a more thoughtful conversation. Yeah. What do you think, Urban?
Yeah, I love this. I love this one specifically because I think it actually is quite freeing for leaders, because at times leaders scratch their heads and they wonder, you know, what can I do about this situation? And I think they totally underestimate how much their very emotional state can help shape a system and how much influence they actually really have from a position where they think they don't have influence. And so, you know, when a leader speeds up, the system's going to speed up. When a leader tightens, the system is going to tighten around them. And the opposite is equally as true. You know, if it just this little act of self-regulation, a slowing down from this example that you gave, naming what's happening, that can begin to stabilize a whole group. It's surprising, but it is very true. And I'm always thrilled and delighted in coaching sessions when a leader kind of comes back with this huge aha and goes, oh my God, that I didn't realize just the power in that. And of course, it's tough to remember, because when we're under pressure, there's 1,000 things we're thinking about. But yeah, this simple act of regulation really has a lot of power.
Mm-hmm. And I love the observation that you made, that even a small act of regulation can stabilize a group. So we don't have to perform some big magic trick. I mean, it kind of is a magic trick, but you know what I mean? It's really just small acts of slowing down, observing, and naming, like you said, what's happening inside yourself or around the group makes such a big difference. And you're right. It's a hopeful thing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what else, Urban?
Oh, truth number four. And this is... yeah, it comes from this notion that we've explored many times of continua, of behavior. And really, they're really two sides of the same coin. And so truth number four is avoidance and overreaction are really two sides of the same coin. It's a continua. And we often think that leaders either avoid or overreact. But really, I think to understand that both are reactions to the same thing, which is pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've worked with a leader who really avoided giving feedback for months. And what would happen would be the pressure would build up, and then all of a sudden it all would come out, but it was too much. It was too fast. And the poor recipient, of course, it didn't land, not surprisingly, because it kind of, they felt it came from nowhere.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, unpacking the incident, you know, it's tempting when this happens to say, well, you need to learn how to give feedback better. You need to, here's how you give feedback better. You start with this, you build this, but it really wasn't about skill. This really was really about this pressure that was building and building over time. And because it had been avoided, it all came out. Mm. And so really, rather than focusing on the skill of giving feedback, really what we had to is, can we notice the pressure and your tendency towards avoidance? And then that will help you give it in a more timely phase. And the feedback will take care of itself. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, resilient leadership lives in the middle. It's addressing, it's this balance, which really is an art. It's not easy. It's, you know, addressing things early enough, you know, before that pressure distorts the message. Does that resonate, Bridget?
Big time. And I think it's so important. It's always about a balance. Mm-hmm. And what that balance looks like isn't always perfectly clear in any given moment, right? I mean, that's the thing. So the two sides of the same coin also, I think, is so helpful. You know, we've talked about another resilient leadership principle about balancing being close enough to influence people yet distant enough to lead. Those are kind of two sides of the same coin too, right?
Yep.
And so finding the balance, finding that middle space is, like you said, it's where resilient leadership actually lives. And in many ways, can't we say that life itself and leadership is one big balancing act? Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So truth number five, and this one I think is, I mean, they're all hopeful. I find a lot of encouragement in this. And I try to remind my clients early on in coaching of this, that resilience and really great leadership is built in small moments, not big ones, meaning the muscle, the capacity to be a resilient leader is built bit by bit, baby step by baby step. And there's no other way to do it, right? And so I'm thinking about a leader who I worked with who started one practice, because at the end of a coaching session, and I said to her, so what are you going to practice? She said, you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to practice a bunch of things. I'm only going to practice one thing. And I said, okay, so what is that one thing? And she says, I'm going to pause before responding in meetings. Every meeting that I go to right now, I'm going to take a beat and I'm going to take a breath. And then I'll respond or not. And I said, every meeting? And she goes, every meeting, I'm just going to take a breath and then see where I want to go from there. And it was that one small baby step that started to change really the trajectory of her leadership. And I would say, Irvin, that for a few weeks, when she would come back to coaching and she would give me, like, share with me her wins around doing this, she was so encouraged. She goes, I'm not going to practice anything else. I'm just going to keep doing this. And when the bigger moments came, and they inevitably do, I think she was surprised to discover that over time she had built a capacity for self-regulation, for thoughtfulness, and for presence that took her by surprise.
Yeah,
what's your take, Irvin?
Yeah, I see. I love this as well, because I think it fits in the wider context of all meaningful behavioral change, you know, in our lives. You know, it's the whole, you know, you bring it back to the whole health, getting healthy, diet, and exercise, you know. And many people start it with gusto and they want to change 19 different things, and it falls apart because it's too much. And lasting change is in these small moments of deliberately picking something and sticking to it and being consistent.
Yeah.
And I think resilience is absolutely like that. It's choosing one little small act, just a breath or whatever it is, but being consistent and knowing that that will become part of us. It'll compound into something bigger. And before you know it, here's a person who's just taking a breath, but now all of a sudden, the way they show up, their composure is a little bit different just from that one small intentional choice. And I love that. I love it. You don't have to make these big sweeping decisions as leaders or change everything overnight. It's really these small, deliberate choices that really can have the biggest impact.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, Irvin, bring us home. Truth number six.
So truth number six, of course, we deal with a lot of leaders who are going through conflict. And here's a truth that comes out a lot, is that conflict's not the problem. Conflict isn't the problem, but yeah, rather capacity under pressure is. What I mean by that, so often people will point a flashlight or a finger at the conflict they're going through and said, I'm in a conflict. I have to deal with this. And I can remember like a client said, you know, we're in a conflict. We need to reduce conflict. There's too much conflict around here. And the problem is, newsflash, conflict ain't going away. Not as long as there's two individuals who are living and breathing. There's going to be lots of differences, be it of values or opinions or choices or whatever. So tension and conflict always going to be there. I think what needs to change is our capacity to handle it and our capacity to handle tension. And so what happens, of course, is, you know, when this tension and conflict shows up, people get defensive. We either avoid it or we push too hard into it. And I think what is more meaningful and beneficial is really focusing on how we show up in those moments. Mm-hmm. Are we able to hold the tension without becoming reactive? Resilient leadership is not about eliminating friction. It's actually about being constructive the moment that that friction shows up. Does resonate?
Oh my gosh, big time. I mean, you and I have talked over the years in this podcast about how we're both, what did we say, a little bit avoidant of conflict in our personality styles. We're not the first ones to the table with conflict. You know, we're not the ones that come at you with conflict. I hope I'm saying that correctly for you, Irvin. I'm not. Okay. Yeah. And so what I think is so important is to look at conflict as something that reveals capacity. Where are we in our capacity to handle conflict? And every conflict we encounter shows us two things. What can we handle well when conflict erupts, and where we still have work to do. And as long as we have a beating heart, we'll still have some work to do.
Yeah.
And that's okay. And so I think when we as humans and as leaders can shift from how do we avoid this? How do we lessen this? How do we get out of this conflict to how do we stay grounded with this?
Yeah.
Right. Then that changes everything. That changes the conversation. It changes the relationship. And quite frankly, it changes the outcome.
Yeah. Love that. So Bridget, this has been a great conversation. It's a milestone episode. And I find myself thinking about, as we've been talking, you know, well, what's kind of changed for me as I think about notions of resilience, and we've talked about resilient leadership. And I think, you know, one of the things that has come out to me loud and clear is that in many ways, I and many people used to think, you know, that resilience is all about pushing through. It's about staying strong. It's about holding things together. It's about not letting all this pressure we're going through impact you. And what I'm coming out even more and more is seeing something very different, that really resilience is all about noticing what's happening inside of you. And it's this ability to take a pause when pressure rises, to choose very deliberately how you are showing up, especially in moments when it's very hard. And it's not about being unshaken. It's really about returning to your core, to yourself again and again and again. And really that's what resilience is about. So I'm curious, Bridget, what about you? What comes to the core as you think about these 100 episodes?
Well, not surprisingly, I think similar to you, some of what you've said is what really surfaces for me. I would say that what stands out to me right away, and as I was listening to you, is just that resilience is much more human than we often make it out to be. I think we think of resilient people as those larger than life figures, right? Who get in a boat and row across the Atlantic by themselves. Yeah. I was just following somebody who did that. I'm thinking, good Lord. But every human being on the planet has inherited resilience, or they wouldn't be alive.
Yeah.
So it is an innate capacity that each and every one of us holds. It's not about having everything figured out and always getting it right. It's not even about going on grand adventures that, you know, others admire. It's just really about staying engaged with, first of all, with ourselves, then with others, and then being present to what's actually happening in the moment. Because as we've said all along, from observing self, others, and being present, we are at choice in ways that aren't possible when we're on autopilot.
Yeah.
And I think the leaders that have the greatest impact aren't the ones that find a way to avoid conflict or avoid pressure. They're the ones who learn how to stay present with it. And I know I still have lots of work to do in that regard, right?
Yeah.
That's what makes it so meaningful, is that we can't really say, hey, I've arrived. I'm a fully baked human and resilient leader. Hopefully we continue to make strides, but it is a lifelong journey, but one that is so worth taking.
Well, Bridget, thank you for this conversation. Thank you for being collaborator and some amazing conversations over these last 100 episodes. And most of all, thank you to our listeners. We have had an honor and privilege of hearing back from some of you, and you yourselves have mentioned how you've got something out just at the right moment, something you were going through, something that resonated with you. So thank you for being a part of this journey, whether it's you've listened faithfully through 100 episodes, or if this is just your first episode, thank you. And we continue to love to hear from you. And maybe in the last 100 episodes, or how many you've listened to, maybe what's one idea that stayed with you? Please share this episode with colleagues and friends if you think it'll resonate with you. And thank you so much for being part of this journey with us. Until the next episode, goodbye.
Take care, everybody.